The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour till all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, for every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the past couple months, in this congregation, we've had funerals, and in our own family, we've had death, so there's this certainly mourning and grief, and in all of those instances, I've encountered Romans chapter 8. And these two verses may sound very familiar to us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. As I said, I've been hearing that passage in the midst of the funerals that we've had here, and just this past Tuesday, read Romans 8 at my wife's grandmother's funeral. Nothing in the world, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. And for me, that has become the gospel in a nutshell. I remember growing up, my mom used to say, John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. But I think it's this Romans 8, 38 and 39. Because John 3:16, I think we make that to focus on what we're doing, our faith. But here in Romans 8, focuses on the love of God. Focuses on what God is doing and how what God has done cannot separate us. That there's nothing we can do. And that's a good thing. That's good news. Because God has done that work for us. But I think the thing that plagues us as human beings is that love from God enough? Or do we continue to look for something more? What treasure do we seek? I just heard a story from somebody, from a hospice nurse, visiting somebody who had just been put on hospice. They had some regret in their life. They asked the nurse, "Do you know what a Thunderbird is?" The nurse replied, "You know, unsure, but a car?" And they said, "Does it impress you to know that I owned one?" Nurse, not really indifferent, pretty indifferent, not impressed either way. And they said, "I worked overtime to have that car. I just had to have it." And the nurse, trying to be affirming, said, "That's awesome that you got that car." And they said, "No." They thought so too at the time, but now they're approaching the end of their life. They're missing the memory of their daughter's dance recital because they were working overtime for that car. That car probably has rusty parts now, but their heart is missing that dance recital. This person wanted to convey to this nurse that we should not prioritize non-essential things over essential people. When we find ourselves chained to the wrong treasure, when God's love is not enough, the love and blessings that are around us that come from God just don't seem to be enough. And then there's that temptation that leads to greed. It drives to a feeling of competitiveness, to accumulate as much as I can, to see the material objects in the world as where I will find true treasure, where I place my heart and trust in to find fulfillment. And it just doesn't cause us to prioritize non-essential things over the essential things like the family around us, but even our neighbor and God. Those essential things that God told us to be concerned about are now considered non-essential because of the treasure we chase. God and neighbor are not essential anymore. The treasure that I look for, that is essential to my life. Idolatry creates injustice. And again, in this parable, like we had last week, the evil are being separated from the righteous, but it's clear that in this parable, we are not the ones doing the sorting. That is above our pay grade. Because we would sort people out for the wrong reasons in the same way that we sorted Christ out for the wrong reasons. When we do not believe that the inseparable love of God is good enough, we look to cast aside God's love from this world. We do not do the sorting, but in response to God's love, we cast a wide net, embracing the diversity of humanity in this world to be caught up in God's love with us. Because when we are caught up in God's love, we cannot help but to share that love in hopes that others would be caught up in that love and experience the kingdom that is now and forever. We don't need to be worried about the sorting. Too many Christians in our culture are trying to sort people out. Listen to that parable of the mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven, it's even for the birds, right? Think about that saying that we have in our culture. It's for the birds. That's something that we can take to heart here in our context, demonstrating and embodying a kingdom without limits. Something that I found interesting too in the string of parables that we hear today, and Marcus Felde points out, we have these parables about a treasure chest and an invaluable pearl. But one of them says the kingdom is like the treasure. The other says the kingdom is like the treasure seeker. Which is it? We're told to seek first the kingdom. But throughout the Gospels, who is doing the seeking? Who is the one that does the seeking? Who has come to save the lost in a dying world? When Jesus shows us the Father and a new way of being human, we do not believe the lie that some are worth more than others. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. I can't help to think of the one who emptied himself for our sake. I can't help but to think of the one who took on our humanity in the form of a slave, only to be given up to death, a death he freely accepted. For the kingdom of heaven has now been established by the cross and empty tomb. That in this vast universe, where we can feel small and insignificant, our Lord says to you that you matter. In God's eyes, we are like a fine pearl. And faith in the one who has claimed us enables us to trust and grow in that promise today. That in the waters of baptism, our Lord has put a claim on our lives. And that this is the promise that we're told, that death cannot separate us from that love of God. This is why we are reminded of our baptism so often. Because it's a reminder of who you belong to. That the inseparable love of God is always with you. Even if it feels distant at times in your life. Even if it feels like it's not enough. The promise of our baptism is a reminder that we are that fine pearl in God's eyes. That we are buried treasure. For we have been buried with Christ and joined to Christ in those waters of baptism and rise with him daily to new life. Which is why I find hope this day in Romans chapter 8 and these parables as a bold proclamation of the gospel that doesn't focus so much on our faith but the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. That in our sin, brokenness, despair, and grief, we do not focus on what we can do, but what God has done and is doing in our lives and in the world. That we live in a throwaway culture that can not only just disregard the needs of our neighbor, but to disregard our neighbor themselves. That we can say that this is all for the birds, and we can lift up this wonderful good news and the people that are pushed to the margins, and to say this is for you as we grow in faith and seek to get other people caught up in God's love. Jesus shows us the Father, and Jesus shows us a new way of being human. We follow Jesus. If we're caught up in the love of God in Jesus Christ, then we're going to love the things that God loves. We're going to love the pearls of this world. A world that says that those pearls are not worth having. A world that says that those pearls in this world don't belong. And often, too often, church and society says that those pearls don't belong. But when we embrace the gospel, when we are caught up in God's love, we say to those pearls, you are loved, you matter, you belong. Because we hear that promise. Whenever we are caught up in God's love, washed anew and claimed in those waters of holy baptism, God constantly reminds us of that love poured out on the cross, saying to you, you're worth it. Our Lord continually invites us to the table for this meal with God's family of every time and every place to remind us that this is for you, that you are worth it. Beloved children of God, may we grow and share God's love that nothing, not even death, can separate from us, from this eternal, loving God. That we can proclaim the good news of God's eternal, loving faithfulness now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.